Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Previously on Transmissions from Colony 1.
Cut thrusters. Touchdown.
Wasp has landed.
Yeah!
Oh, yes.
Not receiving signals from NASA, MECTI, ESA, or Hercules.
Kaya?
We've lost her. We've lost the Earth.
This, Ada Carina. There wouldn't be any associated danger, would there?
We'd all be dead before we'd even notice it.
Why?
Earth was hit by a gamma ray burst?
Well, Earth is gone.
Huh?
What?
What about the Chinese?
The Chinese? What about the Chinese?
They built that moon base a few years back, right?
So?
Maybe if there was a crew stationed there.
For Dustin.
December 31, 2056. Times Square, New York City. Earth.
It's a brisk New Year's Eve right here at Times Square with less than 1 hour away from ringing in the most historic New Year in our lifetimes. I'm your host, Clifford Stillman, and to my left, well, this lovely lady needs no introduction, but I'm going to give her one anyway. Gimme Zola!
Hey, Cliff. Pretty exciting night, isn't it?
Tonight we not only celebrate the start of 2057, but history on Earth and elsewhere.
That's right, Cliff. Big time. Tonight's all about MECTI. Tonight is the culmination of years of hard work and dedication from literally millions of people around the world. MECTI-1, the first of hundreds of manned missions to Mars, is set to land on the surface tonight.
The crew, headed by Commander Sam Flynn, includes some of humanity's bravest. We'll, of course, be bringing you live feed from the cockpit of MECTI-1's ship, the Wasp, once they land. But this is only one of three historical events MECTI has planned for tonight.
MECTI couldn't have just one milestone for us to celebrate. When MECTI-1 lands on Mars, MECTI-2 will launch from Earth orbit. Midnight of 2057 will mark a turning point in human civilization. From that moment on, we will become interplanetary.
The MECTI-2 crew, led by Commander Tim Conrad, is set to launch for Mars just as Sam Flynn and MECTI-1 will be touching down on the surface.
But hold on a second, Cliff. MECTI has three events planned for us tonight, right?
There has also been an agreement between MECTI and the China National Space Administration. As we speak, there is a delegation of MECTI officials currently meeting with Zhao Li, commander of the Chinese moon base, where the formal alliance will be signed. Scott Richmond, reporter for MECTI's Mars Now network, is live from the moon.
December 31, 2056. China National Space Administration Moon Base, Guanghan Gong 1. Shackleton Crater. Earth's moon.
So.
I guess we're co-workers now.
I'll admit, it took some negotiating with the rest of the board for crew changes.
When there will be hundreds of crews.
We got you six, all Chinese. And we both know there will be more in the future. This is the great start, Chao.
Missions to Mars. How did we get here? If you'd ask me, I would not want to be on MechT 2 tonight. They launch moments after MechT 1 lands. What if something goes wrong on MechT 1? What if the landing fails? What if there was one variable that they never accounted for?
It would be a tragedy. But the mission would continue. They need to continue. We are in too deep now. As difficult as losing MechT 1 would be, you can't shut down because of one failure.
If that happens though, and MechT 2 has to launch with that to look forward to?
Oh, such a beautiful view of Earth. Don't think I'd ever get tired of this. I hate that we have to leave tomorrow.
Be happy you're here for 4 days. My crew and I still have 5 months to go.
The countdown has begun, Commander Lee.
Thank you, Captain. Be there shortly. Time to see if your accomplishments have paid off, Administrator Vidas. Shall we?
My pleasure, Commander Lee.
We'll be able to hear MechT 1, but won't get video feed until they're safely on the surface.
And no video from MechT 2?
Yes, but after MechT 1's landing, they've got top billing tonight.
Lieutenant Liu, where are we with the countdown?
Mr. Richmond, great broadcast of the signing group.
This better be worth pulling me from my post on Hercules, Dario.
Can you bring video from Times Square on one of these screens?
Jimmy, New York on monitor 4.
Copy, Commander. Coming up now.
And can you give us
so much work to finally get to this point?
I cannot believe this is actually happening.
It's extraordinary.
Less than a minute. Signals are off.
Thank you, Jimmy.
To all of you from MechT on board Guanghangong 1, we congratulate you on this historical achievement.
What happened?
Commander, we've lost signal with headquarters. We've lost Beijing.
Dario,
you've lost Beijing?
Are you trying to
run?
The lights.
What?
All the lights on Earth went out.
What in the world?
Space Station Hercules, this is Felix Mendez. Come in. This is Felix Mendez of MechT, calling Space Station Hercules. Come in.
We need to get in touch with Hercules.
We lost the video.
Administrator Vidas.
We need to get in touch with headquarters.
This is MechT advisor Felix Mendez, trying to get a hold of Space Station Hercules.
Commander?
Captain 1, load up emergency communications database on all consoles. Everyone sit down and grab a headset.
using lists of different frequencies.
Database is on all console, Commander.
Don't stop until we get a hold of someone that can fill us in.
The signal's still open at Space Station Hercules, but no response.
Keep calling them. They're probably busy with getting a handle on the situation themselves.
All frequencies, and all backup frequencies. Jiuquan, Beijing, Wenchang, Taiyuan, Xichang, everywhere and anywhere.
Repeat, this is MEC, the Administrator Dario Vidas calling MEC, the headquarters.
This is Max Baker, Associate Administrator of Strategic Infrastructure.
This is Peter Borgeson, MEC Advisor Rose Cooper, MEC General Counsel calling from China.
This is Mission Director Leslie Jacobs calling from
MEC London, MEC Richards calling from Wuhan, Hong Kong. There's been some kind of communications failure.
Chief Master Sergeant Payne calling from MEC headquarters.
Please respond if you hear me. Are you there?
Failure. If there is anyone on board Space Station Hercules, you have a live and open signal. Please report to us that you've received our transmission.
Now talking to you.
This is Rose Cooper, a MEC team, on board with the Chinese moon base.
Please call us.
The world has gone dark, and there's been radio silence ever since.
Fucking Alex Springs in the middle of the goddamn outback won't even respond. It's been 2 hours. Not a damn word.
Mr. Vidas, how long do you say until your Inception satellite launches?
Perception, Omar. Perception 2. 6th hour of the communications lost, Perception 2 launches into geosynchronous orbit, relaying messages from MEC headquarters to Mars.
Right. See? Nothing to worry about.
Nothing?
No.
Perception 2 will launch, Joe. Once communications are severed, the timer begins. 6 hours sharp.
Would you like some help? Captain Shaw, report. What happened? What was that flash of light?
No incidents reports, Commander.
Did something just explode?
What do you mean?
Captain, you didn't find out what happened in
Fireball where
it was a flash of light and then nothing.
It was so bright.
Nothing went out when the base did it. I didn't hear anything.
No, the base is fine.
Where did that flash come from? What direction?
Where is MEC-D2?
What?
MEC-D2, come in.
Shit, did they launch?
MEC-D2, come in.
They launched. That flash.
MEC-D2 launched?
Are you sure?
They must have launched.
How?
Why would
what
launch?
Is going on?
Am I right? That didn't short circuit, did it?
It's a fusion propelled engine, Omar. They don't short circuit.
They chose to launch. What made them decide to leave?
So there wasn't any kind of malfunction?
Amongst the infinite possible glitches that could occur on a MEC-D Maya rocket, a spontaneous fusion engine ignition is not one of them.
What then?
Why haven't they responded to our call?
The moon base's communications equipment is still intact, right?
Yes. All systems on Guanghangong are in perfect condition.
What made them launch then? Why did they not respond to our calls?
Zhao.
I don't know. I don't understand any of this.
Great.
Administrator Vidas? Do we head back to Hercules?
I don't know what to do.
Get to a console and call those frequencies again. All of them. We still have 4 hours until the Perception 2 satellite launches.
If it launches.
if the satellite launches, we use it to relay our message to Earth. Establishing contact with Earth is the priority, no matter how long it takes. Everyone get back to work. Continue calling all frequencies. Beijing 总部，这里是广播。
Administrator Vidas.
Hey, we are running low on options, guys.
John Lee's commander here. Administrator Vidas to Magni headquarters. Respond to this call. You just witnessed Magni 2.
Magni London, this is Scott Richmond, host of Mars Now, on board the Chinese moon base. Magni 2 is launched away.
This is Captain Omar Alvarez calling again. We've reported a communications dropout and we'd really like to hear from you or anyone.
Otherwise, Lieutenant, it's been 1 week since the communications blackout, and therefore makes our current objective even more important. Do you understand, Lieutenant? There has been a global blackout, and from the absence of any light pollution, we can safely assume there's been a full electrical grid failure. But whatever has happened, whatever caused it, it will get resolved. MECD will get this taken care of. The Chinese Space Administration will get this taken care of. We've not been forgotten up here. Patience and diligence as we move forward. There are 86 people currently on board Guanghangong 1. We have enough water, oxygen, food, and supplies for an entire year. We need to stay persistent. We have the time to endure. We owe it to our people down there to keep at it.
MECD headquarters, Nikki Flores calling from the Dewan Jason.
Indefinitely. MECD Denali, this is Rose Cooper calling you back.
First of all, I want you to report that they're on the moon, but that we send you an early happy New Year's greeting.
Come on.
I'll let someone
please be safe. Please.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Supplies too?
More than sure. We'll be able to stuff enough supplies in there forever.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Captain Wen, where's Commander Lee? We had recommended to speak with her.
Please be seated. Commander Lee is currently busy with other matters, and she ordered me to meet you all to give you her update.
Update?
What update, Captain?
At our current rate of food consumption, Commander Lee is suggesting we begin altering our diets to allow for the food to last considerably longer.
Gotta be kidding me.
How much is she wanting to cut it down?
One third.
This is such bullshit.
Rationing our rations.
That will allow much more time to seek out a
connection. Oh, for Christ's sake, May. It's been 2 months. Where is Commander Lee?
In her quarters.
In her quarters, huh? All right. Everybody come with me. Had enough of this bullshit.
Mr. Richmond.
Mr. Richmond? Scott?
Commander Lee! Open up! You want us to reduce our rations to keep us here longer?
Miss Richmond.
Commander Lee, we have a flight plan for returning to Hercules. We take retransport ships and the Mechti train.
We stay here.
I have a wife down there. I have a daughter. When can I see my family?
We all have people down there we care about.
Zhao, Perception 2 has not launched. Omar Alvarez and Emma Murphy have already drawn up the flight plan and procedures for docking at Space Station Hercules. Whatever happened down there, people need our help. We are not doing much good up here.
Administrator Vidas, we stay.
Commander, we're living in an environment with manufactured gravity and air pressure. Starving ourselves in a manufactured environment.
Get to the VC and run through those frequencies again. You have your orders.
Come in. Commander! Open up!
Another 2 months later.
May 16, 2057. Attempting a reestablishment of communication with Space Station Hercules and Earth. It's been over 4 months since the launch of MECTI 2 and the beginning of the blackout. It's been about a month since the heavy clouds on Earth dissipated, yet there's no sign of activity. If you somehow are hearing this, respond to this frequency immediately.
I can't take this.
Calling from the control center, Guan Hongong, the CNSA moon base to Mechti Cape Town. Please respond. We've experienced a communications blackout 4 months ago.
Jane Goodwin, sending out another call to Mechti Terraformation Lab in Rita.
Rita?
Please respond whenever you are.
You had Mechti Argentina on your frequency list for the day, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Gotcha. How about,
This is Ben Richards on board the Chinese moon base Shackleton Crater.
Good afternoon.
If you're there, call back at frequency.
As of this moment, I am ordering all personnel to cease communication efforts.
About goddamn time.
I have considered the flight plan designed by Omar Alvarez and Ava Murphy, and I have agreed a return mission to Earth is in everyone's best interests. Captain Alvarez, open up the mission report.
Yes. Yes, Commander.
As you can see on the screen, we're taking all four of our transport ships docked at the base, and we're headed for Space Station Hercules. As of right now, the best answer we have for what happened on Earth was some kind of EMP. What does not add up, though, is the situation on Hercules. So we head there first. Maybe we'll find answers there.
Sounds good to me.
After that, we'll make for the Mechti Space Elevator Orbit Station and take the elevator down to the surface station on Jarvis Island. Once on the surface, we'll get flights back to our respective headquarters.
At last.
Head to the supply depot and grab all your personal belongings. We're taking everything. We will not return to Guanghangong 1. All crew file out.
I understand it's a risk, but one we need to take.
I hope you're right, Dario.
Standby, primary engine ignition.
Standing by, Commander.
Shuttle 1, commence primary engine ignition. Safe travels, Jimmy.
Copy, Commander. Igniting engine now.
Captain Wen, commence primary engine ignition.
Acknowledged, Commander. Including primary ignition.
Omar, you're cleared for launch. Commence ignition.
Successful takeoff of Shuttle 1. Copy, Commander. See you in the air.
Farewell, Guanghanggo. Captain Shaw, execute primary ignition.
Copy, Commander. Ignition in 3, 2, 1. Successful takeoff.
Copy that, Captain. Okay, everyone. Captain Shaw and I will be executing some positioning thruster burns. But rest easy. We are now en route to Space Station Hercules. Dario.
Opening airlock.
Oh, God.
The station's ECLSS must still be intact. Enough to allow for decomposition at least. Commander Lee to all transports. We are boarding at docking station 13 now. Fair warning, there is a smell.
Copy that, Commander. Successful docking at Hercules DS-14. Tracking probe and engaging locks. About to begin pressure adjust. We'll meet you in mission control.
What the hell happened? Copy, Rose. Come on back to mission control.
What?
Fuck. Entire crew.
Should we load up with supplies and head back to Guanghanggo?
What? Go back?
We can't go back. But this
still could be an EMP. Omar, you suspect an EMP?
I don't know, Ava.
What the hell is going on?
The station's power has remained on. It couldn't have been an EMP. What now?
What now?
All crew is lost. I'm afraid to ask what happened at headquarters.
Guys?
Hmm?
I may have found something over here. Maybe. This alert pop-up on this monitor next to me, it's reading a PEM code.
PEM?
Oh!
Planetary Emergency Message, PEM. They are automatically broadcast based on the detection of danger event on Earth or Mars that might pose a high-level threat to any of our missions. PEM
23-238429. What does it mean? What does the number mean?
It's a number code. The first part, 23, is the category number from the PEM index. Luckily, there's still power on the station, so I can search the index. And...
Wait, there was a blackout on Earth. How are you able to access a network?
PEM database is located on a satellite orbiting the dwarf planet Sirius in the asteroid belt.
What?
Okay, PEM 23 is the category number 4. Huh.
What is it?
PEM 23 means radiation event, Earth.
What?
Radiation event? What the hell?
Last six numbers, I'm not entirely sure of. Searching 238429. On PEMs, there would usually be a small bit of text or code describing the source of the problem, or the cause, or...
What is it?
Dario?
238429. Looks like it's the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory's Dark Catalog number. And SAO number 4, Eta Carina.
Eta Carina? What is that?
A supermassive star over 7,000 light years away.
How would a star over 7,000 light years away cause a radiation event here?
Well, perhaps a supernova. Let me see if the telescopes work and I can get a look at this thing.
This star, this Eta Carina, it went supernova?
I can't believe it.
There we go. Let's see, it's...
What is it? What?
Eta Carina has collapsed. The BEM detected a radiation event on Earth from Eta Carina. Earth was hit by a gamma ray burst.
What?
A gamma ray burst?
No. No.
What does that mean?
This could not have happened.
Look around, Commander. The bodies. That is what a gamma ray burst means.
We must get down there.
How do you know? It...
What?
That couldn't have been. No.
Yeah.
No.
We must get home.
That could not have happened. No.
Commander Lee.
How could it have? Chad?
Commander Lee.
How?
We need to get to the surface.
How could that have happened?
Everyone, we cannot stay here. Zhao, we need to get back to our ships.
It.
Zhao.
It could not have happened. That's not possible.
There's nothing we can do to change this fact. We need
nothing
to...
we can do? What are you
Commander Lee, we need to get to the surface immediately. No matter what awaits us there, we need to go. You understand? Zhao, we gotta keep going.
Yes. Yes. Up on your feet. Locate and pack every single bit of food, water, and supplies we can store into our transport ships, and ready for the space elevator orbit station. Whatever happened here and on Earth, we can't do anything to change that outcome. And we cannot stay here. Let's move!
Space elevator, orbit station, airlock 2.
Successful pressure adjusting in airlock 2. Locks remain engaged.
Copy. Let's get aboard the orbit station and load our supplies into the elevator climber.
Maybe find out where those abort capsules have gone to.
Indeed. What is it, Danny?
My wife is... Nothing, Commander Lee.
Commander? Come on.
What the... Huh?
Everyone spread out and search the entire orbit station. Find the crew.
This doesn't make sense. Gamma ray bursts travel at the speed of light. There would not be time to evacuate.
Huh. Danny?
What is it?
The orbit station and the elevator are running on auxiliary power.
Meaning?
The elevator will not move up and down. The main fusion reactor at Jarvis Island surface station has been kicked offline. All auxiliary power is coming from the battery supplies here on the orbit station.
Let me guess. The only way to reboot the main power...
From the service station. Yeah.
Got it. Right.
Structural integrity, station... location information and inventory diagnostics, those things are still online, but no operational power. No way we're taking the elevator down.
I see.
Check diagnostics on the abort capsules.
Collins here. We checked the crew habitat module. No sign of anyone. There's no one here. Coming back to the command center.
Nothing out of the ordinary. The system logged all four abort capsules with manual jettisons.
All of the orbit station's abort capsules have been manually jettisoned, and you don't think that's out of the ordinary?
No evidence of any malfunctions of the sort. But the why they aborted remains a mystery.
Nikki, what is it?
We've checked all the lower levels and no sign of anyone heading to CC.
The farther we go, the more confusing it becomes.
Guys, I think I've got something. To anyone on the Chinese moon base or Hercules that reads this, my name is Ken Simpson, assistant orbit station operator for the MECT space elevator. We have reason to believe that an EMP has hit Earth, and it's knocked out operational power to the elevator. It's been 4 days since the event, and in those 4 days, we've heard nothing from space station Hercules or the surface.
Nothing.
I have given orders to abandon ship with our 11-person crew using one of our aboard capsules to link up with Space Station Hercules and the remaining three to land near Jarvis Island. I hope that we regain operational power and communication soon. Ken Simpson, January 5th, 2057, 1620 hours. There's your answer, Dario.
I don't remember seeing any abort capsules at Space Station Hercules.
After seeing what happened to the crew, why would you stay?
Zhao, we cannot take the elevator. What are our options?
I guess we do the only thing we can at this point. All crew, back to your ships and load procedures for re-entry.
Shit.
The space elevator is offline, and we're going to attempt a landing on Jarvis Island.
You sure this is the best move, Zhao?
No. We gotta go, Dario.
Next day, May 22nd, 2057.
Altitude is 100 kilometers and dropping.
MECT Transport, PI. MECT Transport Shuttle Bridging Carmen Line.
Copy, MECT Transport. Holland, heat reading?
Coming up on 1000 Celsius.
MECT Transport reading nominal.
Entry interface alert. Transport Shuttle 1.
How's your handling, Captain Shaw?
Handling is perfect, Commander.
Mr. Richards, keep your eyes open on the left side for horizon visual.
Copy, CMD, standing by on horizon visual.
Leslie, altitude.
96.22 km and dropping.
Shuttle 2, approaching interface.
We're good. Going good.
MECT Transport, performing 0.2 clockwise roll adjustment.
90 kilometers and dropping.
Copy, Leslie. Nearing EQ glide. Decel rate is nominal.
0.2 complete.
4,800 meters per second velocity.
Abort. Commander Lee, Commander Abort.
Copy, Captain.
Abort.
We've got an abort.
Apparently, Commander Abort.
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 Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.